Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
Passover, once again, it commemorates God's protection on the firstborn of Israel and their deliverance from Egypt. So this was the time Jesus was coming in. So we're talking about perhaps 2 million people in the city of Jerusalem. There were a lot of people there shouting and saying, Jesus, we welcome you. Save us. Establish your kingdom. Get rid of our enemies. He was being received. This was like a royal procession of a conqueror and a leader as he came in. Now, the book of Matthew's version of this story also helps us to see the visitor's perspective. In verse chapter 10 and 11, listen to what it says. It says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Now, the reason why they were saying this is because people came from all around the world to Jerusalem at this time to celebrate the Passover. So many of these people had no idea who this local person was, this local prophet. They said, who is this? Who is this man? Who are you shouting about? So the multitudes began to say, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, that is one of the questions we all have to be able to answer for ourselves. Who is Jesus? Who is he really to us? There are a lot of people who don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. There are a lot of people who are not Christians. But God really showed us over and over again through his word about who Jesus was. Jesus proved his deity that he was the Son of God. If you read the Bible, it talks about how he stopped storms, how he fed multitudes, how he walked on the water, how he raised the dead. And one of the prophecies about the Messiah predicted that he would actually heal the sick. It said in Isaiah 35 and 5 that when the Messiah comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf, the lame will leap as a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and begin to sing. Well, the fulfillment of that was in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12. It says, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Now, every time Palm Sunday is celebrated, it points to something that we rarely talk about. It talks about Christ's millennial kingdom. And we have to talk about the rapture, because the rapture precedes Christ's kingdom on earth. When we examine the text, when we read it, Palm Sunday is celebrating Jesus Christ being proclaimed the Messiah, the King of Israel, who would reestablish the Davidic kingdom here on earth. That's what they were actually saying. See, God had promised David that he would give him a descendant who would rule from his throne in Jerusalem eternally. Let me give you a few scriptures. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, it says, for the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's lineage. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is right and just throughout the land. And this shall be his name. The Lord is righteous. Let me give you another verse. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9 and 6. Most of you have heard these verses. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end, for he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. How long? for all eternity. I'm going to give you one more. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. And she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Skipping down to verse 31. "You will have a son. Call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is what thousands were shouting about on Palm Sunday. They were talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Now let's look at some of the references for this great event. And I'm going to use Daniel because it mentions the establishment of the kingdom when the world kingdoms come to an end. Are you still with me? But I don't see anybody falling asleep, so I'm going to go on. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. His dream was of a giant statue made of different metals and clay representing the kingdoms of the world in history. The first kingdom was the kingdom of gold. It represented Babylon. The next kingdom was represented on the statue as breast and arms of silver. That was the Medo-Persian Empire. The third kingdom that came was represented by bronze. That was the Greek Empire. And the fourth kingdom's feet and toes were combined with iron and baked clay, and that stood for the Roman Empire. Next, there will be the Antichrist 10 kingdom empire. Now, I've been trying to get all the way down to verse 44, so here it is. "During the reign of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. It will crush all these kingdoms into nothingness, and it will stand forever." I'm talking about Christ's millennial kingdom. When will the millennium take place? When will that kingdom be established? Well, the Bible tells us that when Satan will be chained, held captive in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, then that's when that kingdom will begin. Actually, it takes place after the Battle of Armageddon, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. I'd like to read some scriptures about this for you, so you don't have to take my word. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit, and a heavy chain was in his hands. He seized the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil, Satan, and he bound him in a chain for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into a bottomless pit, which then he shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore until 1,000 years were finished." We're talking about the 1,000-year millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. Continuing, it says, "After, Satan must be released for a little while." We hate that, but that's what's going to happen. Verse 4 says, "Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given authority to judge. Every person who accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior will be in that millennial kingdom, and most of us will be given thrones of authority over peoples and places." Isn't that wonderful? You didn't know you're going to rule, did you? Yeah, you are going to actually rule. You're going to be given authority to judge. And then it goes on to say, "And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus Christ and for proclaiming the word of God." In the tribulation period, those who have not bowed to the Antichrist, those who did not take the mark of the beast, those who remain faithful and true to God, they will be beheaded. So let me just say something to Christians who are a little weak right now. If you have a problem standing up because you're a little bit timid for God, you don't want to miss the rapture and go into the tribulation and think you'll do it then. Because you will be beheaded. I don't know anybody who really wants to be beheaded. This is a time to make your calling and your election sure. This is a time for us to live for God and for Christ according to the word of God with all of our hearts. Let the church say amen. That's it. These people will have died during the tribulation. Well, they will come back to life again. There'll be a resurrection. They'll come back to life again so that they can live during the 1,000-year reign with Christ, and they will reign with him as well.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now, I mentioned the fact that when we talk about the millennial kingdom, we have got to talk about the rapture. You know why? Because that's first. How are we going to get to the millennium? Not from down here. We will be raptured as a church. All those who love Jesus Christ and obey him will be raptured in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He said, what's a twinkling of an eye? That's as quickly as you can bat an eye. It's going to all take place just like that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 16, it says, well, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Now, folks, please understand, when you die as a believer, you go instantly into the presence of the Lord. An angel comes and escorts you to the presence of the Lord. That's your spirit, but your body is left behind. Your ashes are left behind. This is what we're talking about. That resurrection is about your physical body that is left behind. The Bible says, and we'll talk more about this on Easter, the Bible says because Jesus rose from the dead, because he had a bodily resurrection, every one of us in here will also have a bodily resurrection. Can we give God some praise for that? You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to get a supernatural body. You're going to get an immortal body that will live forever. Your spirit in heaven will come and join the body you left behind at death. And then we will live on this earth in glorified bodies during the millennial kingdom. The Bible says that the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord with them in the air. Then we shall forever be with the Lord. We're not coming back to earth after the rapture. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're going to stay in heaven with the Lord until the establishment of the millennial kingdom. You see. Now, according to Bible prophecy, the return of Jesus can happen at any time. We have got to be ready. See, we need to realize this. This is our season of divine visitation. One of the things that God emphasizes for us to do now is to live holy lives. Because if we don't live a holy life, we are not going to see the Lord. We are not going to heaven. And this is so important. In Hebrews chapter 12 and 14, it says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. What are we talking about? Living a morally pure life according to the word of God. You have to do it. Now, let's just be honest. There are many Christians who engage in besetting sins, things that God condemns in his world. Well, let me just tell you something. The Bible says you've got to get rid of it. See, it's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then you disobey him. One, that's right. A lot of oh me's. Oh, wow. That's the word of God, folks. So this is what God says. This is our day of divine visitation. This is the time of decision that God has given us now in between the time of the rapture and now. It says in Hebrews 12 and 1, lay aside every weight and the sin. And the sins. This is talking to Christians. And the sins which so easily ensnares you. Lay it aside. You got to get rid of it. You got to let it go, saints. Now, there are saints and ain'ts. The saints are the ones who make mistakes and they repent and they say, I'm sorry, and they change. The ain'ts are the one who ain't going to change. They just, no, it's not necessary. The Bible doesn't say it's necessary. I'm reading it for you here. Repeat after me. Hebrews 12. And verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin and the sin and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Is it there? We read it together. See, the Bible says that God is expecting a morally pure church, and the Holy Spirit will help you. The Bible says if we continue to live according to the flesh, we will die. And when it's saying die, it's not just talking about physical death. It means going to the lake of fire. You will die eternally. But if you, through the help of the Holy Spirit, mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh, your carnal desires, you will live. For everyone who follows the Holy Spirit, those who are led by the Holy Spirit, led by the Word of God, they are the children of God, not just the ones who say, I know Jesus, I know the man. You can't just know the man, you got to obey the man. I'm going to say that again. You can't just know the man, you got to obey the man. In Ephesians 5 and 27, it says, he is coming for a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Some of you are perfectionists when it comes to your clothes, and when you see a spot in it, you clean it out. When you see a wrinkle in that dress or in those pants, you iron it. Well, guess what? That's the way God is. God doesn't want to see a spot in your life. He doesn't expect to see a wrinkle in your life. Because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, the perfect blood of Jesus. We need to get rid of all this stuff that is not from God, that is of the flesh. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. How are you going to heaven in your flesh? You can't. You got to get rid of it. All those things that God has said, those besetting sins, you got to get rid of it. Now, the devil has deceived some Christians to believe what is popular should be accepted. God's word doesn't change. If God said it, he's going to do it. He's not a man that he should change his mind. See, some people feel, well, I'm a Christian. As long as I love the Lord, I should have the right to do whatever I desire. The devil is a liar. God makes the rules, not the devil. We've got to listen to the spiritual guidelines that God has given us in his word. We've got to follow his 10 commandments. We got to follow everything he says in his word. We cannot edit the word of God for things we find too difficult or things we don't like and think it's going to be all right. The book you will be judged for in heaven is the same book, the whole Bible, Not the pages you have torn out. Not the pages that you have eliminated. Not the things you have crossed out. It does not matter. You will be judged by the whole word of God. Now, Jesus himself, he stated, everybody professing Christianity is not going to make the rapture or heaven. He said it right up front. And this is for the people who say, I said the prayer. I said the prayer. Let me read it. Matthew 7 and 21. Listen, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord. Well, I said the prayer. I said, Lord, Lord. He says, not everyone who calls out to me and says the prayer, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, what you talking about, Jesus? The Bible says, if I confess, you my Lord and Savior. Wait, what you talking about, Jesus? He says, only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter heaven. Can I get an amen or an oh me? You've got to obey God, people. Don't tell me you just prayed a prayer and you're not obeying the word of God. You're deceived if you think you're going to heaven. Now, according to the Bible, we are in the divine season of Christ's return because there is nothing that has to happen prophetically now. We are in a time of decision that will determine our eternal destiny. And everybody's not going. It tells us in verse 40, two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. So you too, you also, you must keep watch and be ready, for you don't know the day that the Lord is coming for you. God wants us to recognize, like on Palm Sunday, this is our time of divine visitation. This is our time of decision-making about where we're going to spend eternity. What will you do to ensure that you will make the rapture and be part of the millennial kingdom of Christ? You must accept him as your Savior, repent of your sins, which means you turn around and you're not sinning anymore. Well, you mean, how can I do that? With the help of the Holy Spirit. I just quoted the verse. There will be no sinners in heaven. Can you look at somebody right now? Because I think this is like disturbing some people. Look at somebody right now and say, there will be no sinners in heaven. Only the righteous will be in heaven. Yeah, it's the truth. You can't live any way you want, confess or profess Jesus Christ and go to heaven. It's not going to happen. You've got to obey the word of God. Only those who actually do the will of my Father, Jesus said, will enter heaven. This is our day of visitation. This is our day of decision. And while we still have the opportunity to decide, we need to make the right decision.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. If you were touched by the message today, consider going to our website and making a donation of any size. Your generous donation can help keep our radio ministry alive. Visit our website at aplacetogrow.org and contribute today. You can also download a copy of today's message by navigating to the Media tab. The title of today's message is Recognizing Your Season of Divine Visitation, Part 2. Now Pastor Steve wants to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and perhaps you have not lived up to your Christian devotion to God as you should this week. And, you know, you're even being tempted by the enemy. I want to pray right now that God will give you strength and that spirit that is coming against you would be broken by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, we are in spiritual warfare. That's why we pray. Prayer is warfare. And I want to pray a prayer for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every satanic attack against the people. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command the powers of darkness to leave them, to leave their family, to leave their home. Father, we stop this attack in the name of Jesus Christ, who said through his name we have power over all of the power of the enemy. Father, I pray that you will restore peace in their lives and peace in their homes and peace on the job. Father, so many right now not knowing what to do because of what's happening in the world. We pray for the peace of God and give them direction and help them in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe it will be well with every one of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. You're always invited to join us for our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10. We offer a safe environment. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Also, remember to be with us every weekday at 4 p.m. and Sunday afternoons at 2:30, right here on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR.